Go to Ephesians chapter number 2, and I just kind of want you to get your Bible open, be ready to turn, and just listen tonight, because I want to build on what we talked about last Wednesday night. Last week, we talked about a threefold division in Ephesians 2, and this division serves as a guide for us to be able to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, and that's to rightly divide the word of truth. And most false doctrine, you've heard me say this before, church, that most false doctrine that you hear on the radio, you hear it on TV, most false doctrine that's being propagated out there today, it's true doctrine. And that's why they've always got a chapter and verse. They hold up their Bible and they got a chapter and verse to prove exactly what they're saying. But what they've done is they've taken a true doctrine and they've misplaced it into the wrong time period. And most people have no clue today where they fit in the overall plan of God. Most Christians today, because of really an ignorance of the word, most people really don't know where they fit in the Bible. They don't know where they fit. And the Bible can be the most dangerous book on planet Earth if it's taken out of its context and if it's misappropriated. And here in Ephesians 2, I want to give you a quick overview of what we talked about last week. There's a threefold timeline division here that we studied last week. It begins in verse 11, and notice it says, "Wherefore," he's writing to the Gentiles at Ephesus, the church here that composed primarily of Gentiles. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past," what? Gentiles, "in the flesh." And notice they were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, Gentiles were known as uncircumcised. Who is known as the circumcision? Somebody tell me. The Jews, Israel. Why? Because we studied that out last week. God gave to Abraham the covenant of circumcision. It was the seal of the covenant that God made with Abraham, through whom came the nation of Israel. And the circumcision was to separate, it was to create a wall of division between Israel and all the uncircumcised Gentile nations that surrounded them. Look at verse 12 and notice where that left the Gentiles. It says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And notice the next three words. And what does it say? Say it with me. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now, let's stop there. And real quickly, let's just understand time past. Time past according to the verses on the page. The way you identify that you're in time past is that God dealt with the world in time past on the basis of a distinction between Israel and the Gentile nations. The plan was this in time past. It wasn't that God was unconcerned about the Gentiles. It wasn't that God didn't love them. It wasn't that God didn't want to reach them. The plan was is that the knowledge and that the blessing of God would flow to the world, to the Gentile nations, but it would flow through the channel of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Okay, but now look at verse 13. It says, what are the first two words? But now. So what does that tell you if you're reading your Bible? Well, things have changed. Something has changed here. He said, in time past, Gentiles were cut off. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, had no hope. They were without God. Israel had this spiritual privilege over here. The Gentiles did not. But verse 13 says, but now. So something has changed. What's changed? Look at the verse. But now in Christ Jesus, ye. Now the ye is the Gentiles. Ye who sometimes were far off, you've been made nigh. You've been made near to God. And how? Is it through Israel? No. He said, you've been made nigh by the what? The blood of Christ. So today, And he goes on in verse 14, "For he is our peace who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile one." He's broken down the middle wall of partition. He goes on here in this text and explains this, church. Listen closely, that Israel enjoys no favored status before God today. Okay? Jews and Gentiles stand before God on an absolute equal basis. And salvation today is being offered to all individuals in all nations. Salvation's being offered to all people, not through a nation. Salvation's being offered through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And once you believe on Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're placed into one body, it says down there in verse 16. You're placed into one body. There is no Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. So we are living today, folks, in an unprecedented time of God's grace to the entire world. But now, if you look at verse 7, we've got time past, we've got but now, okay, so we're present. But now means present tense. I mean, look, here's the thing. Don't let the order of these things, confuse you, okay? Paul has a reason for laying it out the way he did. It's the words on the page that mean something. All right? Now, there's no problem with us understanding what time past means. Time past means just what it says, past. There's no problem with us understanding the words, but now. We know that is present tense, but now, present tense. There's no problem with us understanding what ages to come means. To come means it's not here yet. So it's something future. Okay? So what Paul's going to do, he's going to show the church, okay, what their heavenly position will be in the ages to come. Then he goes back in verses 11 through 18 and shows them how they got there. Shows them how they were cut off in time past, and now they've been reconciled to God. And so he kind of gives them up front what their position is, that exalted position in heaven. Then he goes back and shows them how they got there. So in verse 7, he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And we see back in verse 6 there that we've been raised up together and he's made us sit together, where, church? In heavenly places. So that's going to be our position in the ages to come. Now, when the body of Christ is caught up into that heavenly position, that's going to end this time of grace, the but now. It's going to end. And the ages to come are going to set in. And while we're up there in that heavenly position in the ages to come, what's going to happen down here on the earth? Well, we know that there's going to be a prophesied time of God's wrath, and then God's kingdom will come to the earth like He promised. Now, I'm going to bring up a chart that will kind of help you as I lay this out, okay? You've got, notice the three things, time past, but now, in ages to come. And you'll see in the time past, God's program was He was working through a nation. Everybody say the name of the nation with me. It was Israel. They got covenants of promise, the hope of a Redeemer, the Word of God. The Gentile nations, they were without God, without hope. They were given over to idolatry and without hope, the Bible says. Now, we're living here in a grace period, the but now, if you will. And in this time period of grace, grace and reconciliation to God is available to anybody and everybody, individuals, and it's based, of course, and it's all offered, that grace is offered on the finished work of Christ. It's not being offered through Israel, okay? We know that we're all on an equal basis today. The Jew enjoys no spiritual advantage over the Gentile today. We're all on an equal basis in this time period. But then when we're caught up here and we take that position in the ages to come in heaven, well, meanwhile, down here on earth in the ages to come, that prophetic program will continue. 7 years of God's wrath and judgment on the earth, and then Christ will return from heaven to the earth, and that kingdom of Christ will at last come to the earth, and Israel will become that blessing to all nations that God intended. Now, most false doctrine that you hear today is true doctrine. It's true. It's in the Bible, chapter and verse. They'll quote it. Most false doctrine is true doctrine, okay, that's been taken from either God's time past program, so they're reading a verse or a passage that deals with time past, or they've got them a verse or passage that God is dealing with the ages to come program. And what they've done is they've taken those verses and misapplied them, misappropriated them right in here in the time period that we're living in today. And that's how you get false doctrine. It's called, and you know what it's called from my teaching, it's called taking the Bible out of context. Right. And that's how false doctrine comes, is they take time past doctrine or ages to come doctrine, try to shove it in this but now time period, and of course you end up then with false doctrine because you've taken the Bible out of its context. So what I want to do tonight is just take a few moments, and I want to give you some tools that I think will help you to rightly divide between these three time periods that Paul gives us in Ephesians 2. This is going to help you to see where you fit in the plan of God. Now, I really wanted to spend some time tonight talking about this subject. I want to deal with four books in your Bible, and that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Somebody tell me, what do we call those four books? We call them the four Gospels. Basically, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do is they chronicle for us the life of Christ on earth. They start with His birth there in Bethlehem, and they take you all the way through His 3.5-year earthly ministry, and they take you through the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and also, some of them also take you all the way to the ascension when Christ leaves the earth and He ascends back up into heaven to the right hand of the Father. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chronicle for us the life of Christ on earth. Now, one of the biggest mistakes that people make, and this is a whole bunch of false doctrine, okay, comes when people go to Christ's earthly ministry right in this time period right here, and they go to Christ's earthly ministry to try to find doctrine for the but now grace period that you and I are living in today. Now here's what happens, and this is, I think we've all done this. Many people assume that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they assume that those books are directed to the body of Christ today in the grace period. And the reason why we think that, okay, the reason why we think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are dealing with the but now is because you go to your Bible index, and the Bible index classifies Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as what? Old Testament or New Testament? New Testament. So we assume, okay, these books are dealing with us, the body of Christ today. Now, let me say this. It is a tremendous blessing when you read and study Christ's earthly ministry. When you see His miraculous birth, virgin birth. You see His love for needy people in His ministry. When you see His heart of compassion, oh, how it exhorts us and it challenges us. When you see His sinless life, when you witness Christ and the great wisdom He exhibited in various situations, man, it's just exciting, it's exhilarating when you see that. And there is so much that we can learn as we study the life of Christ in His earthly ministry. There is so much wonderful application that we can make to our own lives. And of course, to me, one of the greatest blessings of reading the four Gospels is we get to read of our Savior's sacrificial death. We get to read of His glorious resurrection, which we know now provides eternal life for us today. But here's the thing, church. You have got to understand the purpose of Christ's earthly ministry. Romans 15:8. Now listen closely. You really don't need to turn there. We're going to go to another place. I just want to quote it for you. Romans 15:8 says, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Jesus Christ was, past tense, a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Somebody tell me, who is the circumcision? Who? Israel. So, in His earthly ministry, the Bible says He was a minister of the circumcision. Now, Matthew 15:24, which we will turn to in a little bit, not right now, but in a moment we're going to turn there. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's kind of shocking, isn't it, to you? Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we're going to look at the context of that in a moment. Now, in Ephesians 2, go back there, in verses 11 and 12, Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, how did Paul define time past? Let's look at it again. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In time past, how did Paul define that? Okay, he said that there was a middle wall of partition between Israel and the Gentiles. Circumcision and the law of Moses, if you read through this text, created a wall of partition, and that was on purpose by God. God wanted to keep Israel separate from the heathen Gentile nations so they could shine and be a testimony and an example to them of the true and living God. And so there was a wall of partition, and Israel's over here, and they are enjoying great spiritual privilege before God. And in time past, look up here, in time past, right here, God dealt with the world on the basis of a distinction, a clear distinction between Israel and the Gentile nations. So the question we have to answer is this. Is that distinction there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is there still a distinction between Israel and the Gentile nations? Is God still dealing with the world on the basis of that distinction in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Because if He is, then we know we're still in that time past program. So let's go to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to do some studying here. Go to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to look at several verses here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Look at Mark 1. The Gospels open with John the Baptist, okay? And John the Baptizer. Okay? That's what his ministry was all about. It was all about baptizing people. And if you look at verse 4, you see why. It says in Mark 1, verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach. What was he preaching? He was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission, the remitting of sins. And there went out unto him, notice this, all the land of what? Judea, that's southern Israel. And they of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, we dealt with that passage in detail when we did the series on baptism. And what does the Bible really teach about baptism? We dealt with that. But all I want you to see tonight is that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they open with John the Baptist preaching only to Israel, and he's preaching to them to repent, and he's baptizing them with a baptism of repentance. Now, go to Luke, the next book, Luke chapter 2. And let's move forward now to Christ and His birth. Luke chapter 2. Okay, you got John the Baptist. He's the forerunner of Christ. Now we come to Jesus Christ. And in Luke 2:21, notice what the Bible says. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. So on the 8th day, Jesus was what? Circumcised. He was part of the circumcision, Israel. He was a Jew. Now look back at Luke 1 and notice why he came. Luke 1, verse 68. Luke 1, verse 68. Zacharias here is prophesying. And he says in verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed who? His people. His people clearly is Israel if you look at the next verse. He's raised up an horn of salvation for us. Zacharias was a Jew, and he was a priest. And he's raised it up for us, where? In the house of his servant David, a Jew. Look down with me at verse number 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation. Who's He going to give knowledge of salvation? What unto who? His people, by the remission of their sins. Okay? Matthew 1:21 says that Christ came to save His people from their sins. clearly his people was Israel. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, right before Mark. Matthew chapter 10. Here we have a commissioning of the 12. Christ is going to send the 12 out. Okay? And notice verse 5. He's in his public ministry now. And in verse 5 it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the Samaritans enter ye not." But read verse 6 with me, church. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And in verse 7 he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Who were the 12 sent to? Did he allow them to go to the Gentiles? Samaritans? No, only Israel. How about that? Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Here a Gentile woman approaches Christ and wants healing for her daughter. And this is an interesting discussion. Matthew 15, 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now you would expect, most of us in our thinking, we would think, "Oh, okay, this Gentile woman's come. Wonderful. Man, Christ is going to say, yes, I'm sent to all people, and yes, come, and yes, I'll be glad to help you." Verse 23, "But he answered her what? Not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of" who? Israel. "Then came she," notice, "and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Again, you would expect him to say, "Well, sure, I'll help you. No problem." Verse 26. "But he answered and said, It's not meet, it's not fitting to take the children's bread." By the way, that's speaking of the children of Israel. That's speaking of the table of fellowship that God was going to lay for them. That table of fellowship. He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And he's not being mean here, okay? That's simply a common term for Gentiles in that day. He said, "It's not appropriate for me to take the bread that's intended here for Israel and to give it to you." In other words, I'm sent to Israel. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose. Look at verse 27. "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Do you know what she's doing right there? She's exercising faith in the program of God. She's saying, "Jesus, I agree with you. I recognize that's the program, and I recognize that the blessing comes through Israel." And she exercised faith as a Gentile in the plan of God. That distinction, she recognized the distinction, and she honored that distinction, and she put her faith and belief in that program. Just like Rahab did in the Old Testament, a Gentile who came under the wings of Israel, and she came and was saved through the nation of Israel and delivered from the destruction of Jericho. Same thing here. She's exercised faith in the Messiah of Israel. She's put her faith and her trust in that program, that distinction. And so Christ honors that faith. And look at verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Go to John 4. John chapter 4. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John 4, and we have a common story here of the woman at the well. And in John 4, verse 22, he's conversing with the woman at the well. I won't get into all that right now. I want you to notice verse 22, what Jesus says to her. John 4, 22. He said, "You worship, ye know not what." So you don't know what you're worshiping. He said, "We know what we worship." And then notice the last phrase, "For salvation is of" who? "The Jews." God's salvation. Now look up here at the chart. God's salvation and God's blessing in the time past program was to flow through the nation of Israel. It was going to flow from Israel out to the nations. The knowledge of God and the blessing of God would come upon Israel and then from them flow to the nations. Even after the resurrection, Christ is talking to his 12 or 11 now, because of Judas hanging himself. And he is talking to them after his resurrection. And he tells them, you're going to go out, you're going to preach this, my resurrection, you're going to preach this to everybody, but he said, you're going to begin at Jerusalem. So the Jew is still enjoying a spiritual advantage even at the end of the Gospels. The Jew and the Gentile are not being ministered to on an equal basis yet. Okay? That time past program is still in place. Now, there's three things that are simultaneously happening in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you understand this, it'll really just bring these books to life and you can appreciate them for what they are. Okay? And instead of getting confused and thinking, man, I don't get this. If you'll understand, there's three things happening in the Gospels. All right? Number one, Christ is calling His people Israel to repent, to turn to God and repent. Okay? Number two, while He's calling the crowds and He's calling all of Israel to repent, simultaneously with that, Christ is preparing this little flock of believers. He's preparing them for a future time of wrath, and He's preparing them for the time when their kingdom will come on the earth. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, certain parts of them, large sections of it, are actually dealing with the ages to come program. Okay? Because He is preparing them for this over here, for the wrath, the judgment, enduring to the end, and all this. And then that kingdom. Remember He told the 12 said, hey, basically they said, you know, we're following You. We've given up everything. What are we going to get out of this? And He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man comes and He sits in the throne of His kingdom, He said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And He said, in fact, everyone who's given up houses or lands, or they've given up father, mother, whatever, He said, they're going to receive 100-fold over there in that kingdom. So I want you to understand, much of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that time past program, okay, clearly is still there. We read it. We know there's still a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles. We read it. We saw it. But then He's also preparing Israel for this ages to come program over here. So these things are going on. Now, what's the third thing that's going on? Well, the third thing that's going on in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ is preparing Himself to go to the cross and make an offering and offer Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Now, we read that. And you know, as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, today on this side of the cross, looking back, we catch every little innuendo that Christ made about the cross. We catch every little thing He said, and we look back and we see it, and you know, where He said, you know, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and we read all that, and man, we say, oh, isn't that great? Look at that. He's talking about when He's going to go to the cross, and we get all that. But what you got to understand, the people that were living during that time period, they didn't understand at all the necessity of Christ's death. Go with me to Luke 18. And go back one book. Go back to Luke 18. If there's anybody that understood, that should have understood the cross, it was the 12, right? I mean, they walked and talked with Christ, lived with Him, hung out with Him, spent time with Him, ministered with Him. If anybody should have got understood that He was preparing Himself for the cross, it was the 12. But look at Luke 18:31. Then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death. And the third day He shall rise again. What does verse 34 say? It says, and they understood what? None of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. When you go over to Matthew 16, I don't have time to go there. Remember when He told the 12 again, I'm going to go and I'm going to die? And Peter said, not so, Lord! You're not going to die! I don't want to hear that! He said, get thee behind me, Satan. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. We can look back and see it clearly. So what's going on in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He's calling Israel to repentance. Okay? This time past program is still operative. He's calling Israel to repentance, calling them to be the blessing that God had planned for them to be. Okay, so repent. He's preparing the little flock of believers for this ages to come. And He's preparing, of course, to offer Himself as a sacrifice we know today for the sins of all mankind. So I want you to, I kind of wanted you tonight to kind of get an idea here of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and what that's all about. Clearly, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God is still dealing with the world on the basis of a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles. So clearly, He's still doing that. Now, here's the other thing I want to share with you tonight. This right here, where we're living, but now, you Gentiles have been made nigh by the blood of Christ, this grace period. What I want you to see is that the time period that we're enjoying today, called the dispensation of grace, this time period right here, okay, it was not revealed yet back in the four Gospels. One of the biggest mistakes people make is when they read the body of Christ and all the truths that we know and enjoy today, but they read, and we learned it from Paul, and we take all those truths and we read them back into the four Gospels when they haven't been revealed yet. As we learned in last week's lesson, today God is... Let me ask you this. Is God dealing with the world today on a basis of a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles? Yes or no? No. The Bible says in Romans 11, Israel fell from that privileged position. They fell because of unbelief. They were cut off because of unbelief. Now, I want you to think about this. The Jews were cut off because of their unbelief. They would not accept Christ as their Messiah. The Jews were cut off. The Gentiles had long been cut off. We read in Ephesians 2. They were long cut off, aliens, from the covenants of promise. So you got the Gentiles who have long been cut off. Then you got God's own people, Israel. They're cut off. So now what? Well, what was prophesied is when that happened, that God would begin to pour His wrath out on the world that had rejected Him. But instead of God pouring His wrath out, you know what God did? God offered grace to every person in the world based on the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ for sin. Amen, church? God said, you know what? Instead of pouring my wrath, I'm going to do something that I kept secret since the world began. God didn't tell this to anybody. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Today, this grace is being offered on an equal basis. Jews or Gentiles, we read in Romans 3, Romans 10. This grace is being offered. There is no difference, Paul said, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice Paul said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He, Christ, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not what? Made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." God, the Apostle Paul, was the instrument that God used. Look up here at the chart. The Apostle Paul was the instrument God used to reveal this secret time period of grace that was hidden from all the way back here in the foundation, from the foundation of the world. Paul was the instrument that God used. And then, of course, Paul then proclaimed it to the apostles and the prophets. We read in Galatians 2 where Paul goes and shares it with them and teaches them. Okay? So here's what I'm trying to say, and I'm almost done. There's a great division in your Bible between God's time past program and God's but now time program of grace. Now, there is some transitional overlapping of these two programs in the book of Acts. But the basic dividing line, just to kind of, I don't know, simplify it, I guess you could say, the basic dividing line between the time past program and the but now period of grace, where everybody's on an equal basis, grace is offered to all, Israel's set aside, they've been cast off, they've been cut off, and now the whole world that's been cut off is offered grace. That time period, the basic dividing line is the saving and the commissioning of the Apostle Paul. It wasn't revealed until then. And that's why Paul said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. And we've studied that out the last couple Sunday nights. Now, here's a brief synopsis to kind of help you distinguish these two programs. Now, if you'll look at the chart, I'm going to explain it in a way that I think will really help you. In this time past program right here, and by the way, great program, nothing wrong with the program. Nothing wrong with the plan, okay? In fact, this time past program will find its fulfillment over here in the ages to come. And Israel will be a blessing to all nations as God intended. But the time in this time past program, God would send salvation and blessing to all nations through the rise of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 60 said that the Gentiles will come unto you to find blessing. And in the time past program, through the rise of Israel, they will be a blessing to all nations. And that time past program right here, the Bible says, it has been made known since the world began. Acts 3:20 and 21 says that that program, time past program, has been prophesied by all the prophets since the world began. No secret there. This time past program was made known in all the prophets. It's there. Now listen, the but now program, salvation and blessing is being offered to the world, not through the rise of Israel, but rather, Romans 11 says, through the fall of Israel. And this plan was kept secret since the world began. Colossians 1:25 and 26, Romans 16:25 says it was kept secret until it was revealed in due time through Paul. And so, church, today, God is offering to the world here, right here, God is offering an unprecedented, undeserved grace period. We find ourselves right now smack dab in the middle of this grace period. That's where we're at. When this grace period is over, the prophesied ages to come will commence. The prophetic program will commence. Do we know when the grace period is going to end? Yes or no?
No.
So may God find us laboring to spread the message of His grace to all people. That's where we fit in the plan of God. We're not Israel. We're not in the time past program. We're not in the ages to come program. We're in the but now grace period. And we are ambassadors to the world with the message that, hey, God's offering grace to the world through the finished and the completed work of Jesus Christ for sin. And the people of London need to hear that message of grace that, hey, God's offering you grace based on the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can have reconciliation with God because of what Christ has done. And we need to tell the people in London, the people of Daytona, and all over the world, this message of grace, this is where we fit. This is where we're at. This is where we live. This is why we're here. It's why God left us here. It's why when you got saved, God didn't just rapture you up to heaven right then. You've been left behind because you're an ambassador to tell the message of grace. To your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, your loved ones, to help these missionaries to tell the message, to help Crossroads spread the message. That's why we're here. Okay? Do you see where you fit now? Amen? You see where you're at? Are you Israel? Are you in the time past program where there's a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles? No. Are you in the ages to come program? No. One day we will be when we're in heaven and we're in that position up there. But right now, we see where we're at. And I say we need to be doing something about it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray now that You will bring understanding to us, Lord, through Your Word tonight. I pray we'll see and recognize these distinctions. And we'll just let the verses say what they mean and mean what they say. I pray tonight, God, that Lord, this lesson will be a huge help to people as they study the four Gospels. And Lord, that we can appreciate what it is and for what it is. We can appreciate and see Christ's earthly ministry to Israel. And we can see our Savior and how He functioned and what He did. But Lord, we can know where we fit and where we don't. And we can apply all of the Word to our hearts and lives. But Lord, we know where to go and where not to go for doctrine for today. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, You will give us this understanding. And Lord, that we'll understand that You gave us an apostle. He said, I magnify mine office. And Lord, You gave us an apostle. You gave us a spokesman where we can go and find sound doctrine for today. Doctrine that will change our life. Doctrine that will get inside of us and change us from the inside out. And Lord, thank You for revealing to Paul these truths of grace. And Lord, thank You, God. And I, just like He told Timothy, to the things You've learned of Me, the same commit Thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. May we take the sound doctrines of grace that You gave us through Paul, and may we be teaching others these things. Lord, we love You and thank You for Your Word tonight. May we be standing in the gap. And Lord, may we be sharing the message of grace with Daytona. Clearly sharing that message. Not obscuring it by religion. Not obscuring it, Lord God, through our own preferences or our own rules or our own idiosyncrasies. May we not obscure the message, but may we make it clear. May we boldly, clearly, with love and compassion, share this message of grace that You're offering to the world today. Lord, we love You and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.